find a handful of extra programs if your family or who you're with, if you missed out on getting one of those, then I think we might have one or two left. Just pop your hand up if you missed out on one of those. If it's too dark and you can't read anyway, well, then I guess it doesn't matter. Today's an awkward day, so we sit in the awkwardness of today. Let's open in prayer. Almighty God, we would be lying to you. We would be deceiving ourselves if we pretended to be joyful and satisfied today. We are not. The violent pain that our friend Christ Jesus endured makes us want to hide, makes us want to wait until it's over, makes us wish to ignore his wounds altogether. Yet in the miracle of grace, you have drawn us here, along with millions of others around the earth, that we might remember Christ's once for all sacrifice, the covenant of grace. As we worship you today, as we undertake the ancient work of remembering, we ask that you open our hearts and to feel anew exactly why this is called Good Friday. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. As this day unfurls across the globe, we're taking part in the observance of an event that has been remembered now for around 2,000 years. We come together as a family. We come together as a big and ancient family to remember not only an act of God on this day, but perhaps even more so an act of humanity, an act of violence, an act of injustice, an act of rebellion which revealed our brokenness like nothing before, like nothing since. This is a dark day. There is no silver lining on this day. There is no neat justification. And for these last two millennia, those that call Christ King have sat in the pain and have sat in the awkwardness of this day. And this is appropriate. And so in the midst of so many things that are going on in our world, this is where we choose to focus our attention today. The death of the Son of God. The execution of the Creator at the hand of his own creation. And it's important today that we gather as a family, young and old and in between. It matters that as parents that we guide our children into the significance and the reverence of this day. And while this is a quiet morning, parents, I want to make sure you feel totally comfortable and welcome. We need you here. The squeals and the cries and the laughing and the mess on the floor, they serve to remind us that we are a family. And so I encourage you that as you guide and translate for your kids today, the meaning of today, that we're with you. And kids, it's important that you're here as we listen to this story together. It's a little bit confusing and it's very, very sad. So do your best to listen, to sing, to pray. And it's okay if you get a little bit lost. Just ask mum or dad, ask a friend to help. And so today we simply let Scripture tell the story. There's no show. There's no performance. Together we will express the heart of this big family in song and in prayer. And at the end of our time together, we will leave this morning in silence, not knowing what's to come. encourage you to do your best to invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to speak to your heart this morning, to reveal the true meaning of this day, to reveal its gravity. Kristen and Caleb are going to bring our readings from Mark's account today.
So I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 15, if you'd care to read along. Early the next morning, the chief priests, the nation's leaders, and the teachers of the law of Moses met together with the whole Jewish council. They tied up Jesus and led him off to Pilate. He asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words," Jesus answered. The chief priests brought many charges against Jesus. Then Pilate questioned them again. "Don't you have anything to say? Don't you hear what crimes they say you have done?" But Jesus did not answer, and Pilate was amazed. During Passover, Pilate always freed one prisoner chosen by the people. And at that time, there was a prisoner named Barabbas. He and some others had been arrested for murder during a riot. The crowd now came and asked Pilate to set a prisoner free, just as he usually did. Pilate asked them, "Do you want me to free the king of the Jews?" Pilate knew that the chief priests had brought Jesus to him because they were jealous. But the chief priests told the crowd to ask Pilate to free Barabbas. Then Pilate asked the crowd, "What do you want me to do with this man you say is the king of the Jews?" And they yelled, "Nail him to a cross." Pilate asked, "But what crime has he done?" "Nail him to a cross," they yelled even louder. Pilate wanted to please the crowd. So he set Barabbas free. Then he ordered his soldiers to beat Jesus with a whip and nail him to a cross. This is the word of God.
Yeah. The soldiers led Jesus inside the courtyard of the fortress and called together the rest of the troops. They put a purple robe on him, and his head they placed a crown that they had made out of thorn branches. They made fun of Jesus and shouted, "Hey, you King of the Jews!" And they beat him on the head with a stick. They spit on him and knelt down and pretended to worship him. And when the soldiers had finished making fun of Jesus, they took off his purple robe. They put his own clothes back on him and led him off to be nailed to a cross. Simon for Cyrene happened to be coming in from a farm, and they forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. The soldiers took Jesus to Golgotha, which means place of a skull. There they gave him some wine mixed with a drug to ease the pain, but he refused to drink it. They nailed Jesus to a cross and gambled to see who would get his clothes. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning when they nailed him to the cross. On it was a sign that told why he was nailed there. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." The soldiers also nailed two criminals on crosses, one to the right of Jesus and the other to his left. People who passed by said terrible things about Jesus. They shook their heads and shouted, "Ha! So you're the one who claimed you could tear down the temple and build it again in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." The chief priests and the teachers of the laws of Moses also made fun of Jesus. They said to each other, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. If he is the Messiah, the King of Israel, let him come down from that cross. Then we will see and believe." The two criminals also said cruel things to Jesus. This is the word of God.
It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. When the sun sets free,
about noon, the sky turned dark and stayed that way until around 3 o'clock. Then about that time, Jesus shouted, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you deserted me?" Some of the people standing there heard Jesus and said, "He is calling for Elijah." One of them ran and grabbed a sponge. After he had soaked it in wine, he put it on a stick and held it up to Jesus. He said, "Let's wait and see if Elijah will come and take him down." Jesus shouted and then died. At once, the curtain in the temple tore in two from top to bottom. A Roman army officer was standing in front of Jesus. When the officer saw how Jesus died, he said, "This man really was the Son of God." Some women were looking on from a distance. They had come with Jesus to Jerusalem. But even before this, they had been his followers and had helped him while he was in Galilee. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joseph, were two of these women. Salome was also one of them. It was now the evening before the Sabbath, and the Jewish people were getting ready for that sacred day. A man named Joseph from Arimathea was brave enough to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. Joseph was a highly respected member of the Jewish council, and he was also waiting for God's kingdom to come. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead, and he called in the army officer to find out if Jesus had been dead very long. After the officer told him, Pilate let Joseph have Jesus' body. Joseph bought a linen cloth and took the body down from the cross. He had it wrapped in the cloth, and he put it in a tomb that had been cut into solid rock. Then he rolled a big stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching and saw where the body was placed. This is the word of God.
I'd like to invite you to join with me in a call and response. It's in your program. I'll be reading the parts on the left, and if you would respond back in the right-hand column in bold. He has borne and carried the evil of our hearts. Because of our transgressions, he was wounded. Because of our hate, our prejudice, our immorality, greed, lying, intolerance, and blasphemy, because of us, he was struck. I crushed him. I drove the nails. I wove the thorny crown. I pierced his side. I shouted, "Crucify him." All our iniquity, punishment, and guilt, the ugliest part of us heaped onto the beautiful Son of God. With every puncture, each whip stroke, at every cry of anguish and innumerable flinches of pain, in every wound and bruise, in his faithfulness, God chose to remember our lawlessness no longer. Through Christ, our sins, yours and mine, are not only forgiven, they are forever destroyed. The word hung between heaven and earth on a splintery cross, at the place where two beams intersect, sin and salvation also cross. The word bled, shouted, and died. The word has broken our hearts.
My God, why have you deserted me? Why are you so far away? Won't you listen to my groans and come to my rescue? I cry out day and night, but you don't answer, and I can never rest. Yet you are the holy God, ruling from your throne and praised by Israel. Our ancestors trusted you, and you rescued them. When they cried out for help, you saved them, and you did not let them down when they depended on you. I am merely a worm, far less human, and I am hated and rejected by people everywhere. Everyone who sees me makes fun and sneers. They shake their heads and say, "Trust the Lord. If you are his favorite, let him protect you and keep you safe." You, Lord, brought me safely through birth and protected me when I was a baby at my mother's breast. From the day I was born, I have been in your care, and from the time of my birth, you have been my God. Don't stay off when I am in trouble, with no one to help me. Enemies are all around like a herd of wild bulls. Powerful bulls from Bashan are everywhere. My enemies are like lions roaring and attacking with jaws wide open. I have no more strength than a few drops of water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. My strength has dried up like a broken clay pot, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You, God, have left me to die in the dirt. Brittle enemies attack me like a pack of dogs tearing at my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, and my enemies just stare and sneer at me. They took my clothes and gambled for them. Don't stay far away, Lord. My strength comes from you, so hurry and help. Rescue me from my enemies' swords and save me from those dogs. Don't let lions eat me. You rescued me from the horns of wild bulls, and when your people meet, I will praise you, Lord. All who worship the Lord now praise him. You belong to Jacob's family and to the people of Israel, so fear and honor the Lord. The Lord doesn't hate or despise the helpless in all of their troubles. When I cried out, he listened, he did not turn away. When your people meet, you will fill my heart with your praises, Lord, and everyone will see me and keep my promises to you. The poor will eat and be full, and all who worship you will be thankful and live in hope. Everyone on this earth will remember you, Lord. People all over the world will turn and worship you because you are in control, the ruler of all nations. All who are rich and have more than enough will bow down to you, Lord. Even those who are dying and almost in the grave will come and bow down. In the future, everyone will worship and learn about you, our Lord. People not yet born will be told the Lord has saved us. This is the word of God.
As it was for Mary Magdalene, for Mary the mother of Joseph, they saw the place where Jesus' lifeless and broken body was laid. There is no joy today. This is the darkest of days. This is the day that creation took the life of its creator. My God, our God, have you deserted us too? So we are now released in silence. Silence as we leave this room. Silence as we go about this day and make our way home. Nothing is resolved on this day. There is no tidy wrap-up prayer. Today there's grief. Today there's loss. Today there is confusion. And this deserves its dignity. Have mercy on us as we move out quietly today.